Oh, what the hell, you know. One little beer never hurt anybody. My mind always lied to me. It always says all at once is one drink. One drink will do it. And it always did. It did it. And one drink always satisfied me. Satisfied me all over. I just felt completely satisfied after I had a drink. But in a few minutes, that drink says, hey, I'm the only one around here who hasn't had a drink. So I give that drink a drink. In a little while, that drink wanted a drink. And I think, well, I'll get ahead of it. I'll give it a double. You know. Next thing I'd know, I'd be accidentally drunk one more time. You know. I got drunk by accident most of the time. Anyhow, I realized my disease was progressive when I was drinking, and it's been progressive as long as I keep coming to these meetings. And in fact, when I turned into an alcoholic, I decided that I was going to be a successful member of AA. If I'm going to be an alcoholic, I'd rather be. If I'm going to be around AA, I'd rather be a successful member than an unsuccessful one. And in fact, I set my goal being a success in AA. My definition of success has varied somewhat over the years, but I have never seen a successful member of AA who drinks. And so not drinking, when I first came into AA, I thought the people in AA were really fanatics on this not drinking. Well, they were. I would go to the men's stag. And I had a lot of problems that I needed to talk about. As you can tell, living with Max was a big problem for me. I mean, that hadn't gotten well with the first day of sobriety either. I needed to talk about these things, people needed to know how difficult it was for me to live with Max. It was one thing to get sober, but I had to stay sober while living with Max. And I felt somebody ought to know about this, how difficult it was. In fact, I decided that's what my sponsor was for, somebody for me to whine to. And I would call him up and tell him how difficult it was to stay sober living with Max. I remember one day calling up to tell him about something she had done that was particularly horrendous at the time. I can't remember what it was right now, but I started telling him how difficult what she had done, and you know, I don't know whether I got him on a bad day or whether he'd gotten tired hearing all this stuff or what it was, but he interrupted me. He interrupted me before I'd even gotten halfway through the story. He interrupted me and he says, why don't you put it out of your mind a couple of days and see what happens? I said, Jack, a couple of days, I'll forget all about it. You know? That's the problem with problems. Problems have a very high infant mortality. You can't neglect problems. I mean, you've got to stay right there with them. Have you ever had a problem that you've just worked on so well and such a dainty, delicate, beautiful work of art that you can't leave it long enough to go to a meeting that night? This is the meeting tonight, Paul, you're going to be there? Oh no, I can't come to the meeting tonight. I've got to stay home and work on this problem. Yeah. You know, if you go and waste your time at that meeting, especially if you stay around and talk to the people afterwards and waste more time, by the time you get home, that problem can be wielded down to the point where you can't bring it back. Problems are very impatient and very fickle. I mean, if you get to bothering on working on somebody else's problem other than your own, they'll get tired waiting for you and go off to somebody that's willing to give them more attention than you are. As a matter of fact, I think it was Robert Schuller. I heard him one day on TV. I watched TV clicking. The thing. So I hope that adding all the channels together will make something worth watching. And I clicked past him one time as he was saying, people don't solve their problems, they just get tired of them and move on.